Thank you, God. Praise God. Why don't you turn over to Ephesians 2 this morning? Ephesians 2, verse 19. We've been talking for some time now. We had some breaks here and there. But we've been talking about built together, being built together, that God is building His church, that we're a part of His church, that He is building His body here on this earth. And we're a part of it. We're a part of what He is doing here on this earth. And that's our primary objective in life, or should be, is to serve Him and to walk with Him. That's it. Well, what about my family? Well, He has instructions about family in His Word. But we don't put our family above Him. We don't put our family above what He said in our relationship with Him. If we'll put Him first and do what He told us to do, all our need and our family's need will be met. Don't ever fall into that where you say, people say, well, yeah, but I can't do this. If I did what God told me to do or what I feel like He's telling me to do, I don't know about my family. Well, does God know about your family? Yes, He does. He knows about our families. He knows what we need, what they need, and He will always lead us in line with that will, help us and be the best for our family and for everybody involved. But He is building His church. Verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, we read on your scripture sheet the Williams translation of that last part. We've read this several times just to get us going. "And you yourselves, in union with Him, in fellowship with one another, are being built up into a dwelling for God through the Spirit." That we're being built up together. It is of utmost importance that we are in fellowship with one another. It is so important. Where you go to church is so important, and it should be where God leads us to go to church. And we've talked about some of those things, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is to be part of a body, a local body. This should be one of your top priorities. Is where we go to church, and I know I'm preaching the choir, but people just don't take it seriously. We are talking about being built up in what God has called each of us to do. And the way you do that is with each other. Together in a church body, being grown up in Him. That's where you get opportunities to grow, opportunities to be on the right track with Him and what God is developing each person in. I want you to notice in Ephesians, we just read verse 22, "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." The next verse, which this was not written in chapter and verse, this is just a whole letter, so this just goes right along. It's been broken into chapter and verse for reference so that we can say everybody turn to chapter 2, verse 19, but this is just one big letter. So it's all in context. You know, when you write a letter to somebody, you don't break it in chapter. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't do my letters like that or my emails. But verse 1, chapter 3 is just right after 22. Notice this. It says, "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And he says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." And then he interrupts himself. He said, "If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace." He goes through all this stuff, and then he finally picks it up back in verse 14, and he said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he started out saying, "For this reason," then he kind of went off a tangent and came back, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice, he got done saying, and earlier in his letter he's saying, that you're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so then this verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you." So he said, "For this reason I'm praying this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." He's saying, "I'm building a church. And I'm praying for this reason, I'm praying that you would be established in love. And you would be built up and strengthened in love. And that you would be established in love. Because it all works by love. When we're gathering together, this is how your family works at home. This is how your marriage works. This is how this extended family, the body of Christ, works. It should be based on love. If it's based on anything but love, it won't work the way God intended it to work. Your marriage won't work the way God intended it to work if you're self-centered. You know, people say, "Well, I just need you. I love you." No, what you're really saying a lot of times when people say that, because the next moment they can't stand to look at the other person, what they're really saying is, "I love me. I need you because I like what you do for me." That's what they're saying. "I love me, and you happen to make me feel good." Kind of like a steak might make me feel good for a while, and I love steak. "I love my car." Why? Because I love it. It goes fast, and it makes me feel good when I go fast. "Honey, I love you because you make me feel good." Well, most people are not talking about what God talks about when they're saying love. They're saying, "You do something for me." Love doesn't want you to do something for it. It does something for you, and it's a decision. It lays down its life for you, whether you're lovely or not. Amen. Which totally goes against what most people talk about when they're talking, "I love you." Until you tick me off, then I don't want to see you. Why are you guys laughing? Because, you know, you've walked with other human beings. You know, you're tempted to act like this too. We all have flesh. We all have, you know, an earthly nature. But it'll do what you tell it to do if you take it, you know, you got to take it by the scruff sometimes and say, "No, this is what you're going to do." But you let it run wild. Some people say, "Well, you know, you just let your kids go. They'll turn out okay." What? Have you had children? You tried that? No, a child left to himself is going to get into trouble. Your children need to be disciplined and trained, and they may wander over here. That's why you got to knock them back over here and say, "Yes, this is the way you're going to go. Stay on this track." "Well, but I want to do..." No, you got to do this. Because they need training. They're not going to find the right way by themselves. Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Right? Hallelujah. 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 No, we have flesh and we don't want to do certain things. If you've lived in close corners with another human being, whether it's a roommate, whether it's being married, somebody does something to you, your flesh, if they do something mean to you, your flesh wants to react in kind or worse. Your natural tendency is not to say, "Oh, that's okay. No, but the love of God being shed abroad in our heart, Romans 5 talks about that, that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And we have the love of God, so we can act in love, and that means we can put the other person first, even when we feel like we want to slap them. And that is when you're walking in love the strongest, is when you feel like slapping somebody, and you don't, and you love them instead. But the world wouldn't call that love. Well, I don't feel like I love you. What does feeling have to do with it? You think Jesus felt like going to the cross? No, he didn't. Love will decide to do something regardless of how you feel. Well, I just don't want to discipline my children. I just don't feel like it. It hurts me. Who cares if it hurts you? What is it doing for the child? Well, I don't want to do that because, you know, that hurts me to tell my wife the truth. But is it the right thing to do? Is it love? Well, we have to determine that. What is, and how do we know love? It's going to be, God is love. We're going to see that. And what is based on the Word, God will always lead us in love. He'll always lead us after love. He is love. His Spirit is love. That's why somebody said, well, God brought me that lady into my life, you know, extramaritally, just at the right time. Say what? God does not break up marriages. He doesn't bring somebody into an adulterous situation. No, that's not. How would you know that, though? Well, because it says don't commit adultery in the Word. It says these things. So how do you discern the Spirit of God? How do you discern what love is? Well, I just don't know what love is. Well, that's why we have the Word. Amen? So he says that we would be established in love. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ with which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He's saying God is building something and you need to be established in love. Your home needs to be established in love. Your local congregation needs to be established in love. What you do in your walk with God needs to be based in love. And I've seen it. You've seen it. Probably if you've been around the body of Christ for any time at all, you'll see people try to step into things and do things, and it's not motivated by love. It's motivated by selfish ambition or wanting to be seen or because they really like to do something or don't. It's not motivated by God. What do you want me to do? I'm doing it to bless other people and to honor you. How do you know when you're in the right place? When you're motivated by love. Brother Hagin said once, they were talking about writing books and putting their books out, and somebody told him, well, you know, this is early days, you know, you can make a lot of money like that. He was discerning whether he was going to start putting out some books. You can make a lot of money on your on writing books and get all the royalties and whatever. He goes, great, now I have to wait longer to do it because I have to make sure my motive is right before I start doing that and make sure it's not out of money. I want to do it to bless other people, not because it's going to benefit me. And it's a process. But if you'll follow love, don't follow what you want to do, what you think. I mean, you're called to do something, but sometimes people say, I'm called to do this. And what they're really saying is, I want to do this. This is what I'd really like to do, not what God has called me to do. Regardless if I like it or not. Now, don't listen, because there's a lot of people that'll portray it like, well, it's just all what, you know, God will fulfill your dream and what you want to do, and he'll be so fulfilled. That's true. But you got to be careful, because it can get to be where it's still about you. It's like, well, I have this dream and I want it fulfilled, and that's what I want to do, and that's what God is calling me to do, because it's really, if you look at it, it's about me. It's not about, God, you really told me to do this and come hell or high water, that's what I'm doing. And regardless of what it costs me, that's what I'm doing. Jesus fulfilled the will of God. He laid down his life, and he is at the right hand of the Father. He has the name that is above every name, but he laid down his life, and it wasn't fun when he was doing it. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm having the best time ever. God, thank you that I'm in the perfect will, and this is just so great. There are times, now, he was exalted. But when he was going to the garden, it wasn't like, woohoo. Right? But you got to watch it, because there's teaching like if you're doing what God has called you to do, I mean, it always will be a bed of roses. Said who? Where is that in the Bible? Look at, you ever read about Paul? Jesus? Peter? Most of them, they laid down their life for the sake of the gospel. And when they were doing it, it wasn't easy necessarily. But I tell you what, people have gotten to where if it doesn't bless me, and I say that very loosely, if it doesn't make me happy, I'm not doing it. I'm out of here. That's not being led by love. That's not being established by love. You won't get to where you need to be in your walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's turn back to... Let's turn over to Philippians. We read this last week, but I want to go there. Philippians 2, verse 1. We're talking about the body of Christ being built on this earth, essentially running our race, what God would have us to do. But we do this not in isolation. We do this as a group. We do this together. You're going to interact with other Christians. God is building his church on this earth. And if we're motivated by love, we'll be in the right place at the right time doing what he wants us to do. It won't always be easy, but it will be fulfilling in the long run. Verse 1 says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Did you know you need to humble yourself? That God, some people say, well, God will humble me. Well, there's over and over in the Bible where it says you humble yourself. You do it. You humble yourself. Some people say, well, God's humbling me. Well, no, a lot of times when they're saying that, they're misguided. No, God, you humble yourself and do what he has told you to do. It says, in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He humbled himself. He came to this earth. He went to the cross because that was the will of God for him. And it was not a bed of roses. It was not easy. But he did it for you and me. It didn't make him jump up and down with joy when he was going through it and when he was taking those stripes, when he was being crucified, getting nails driven through his hands. But it was the will of God, it was what he was supposed to do, and it was motivated by love for you and for me. And we're his children, and we're in the church, and he is the head of the church, and he is building his body here on this earth, and he is going to ask you to run a race on this earth. Yes, it's fulfilling. Yes, the way of God is the best way you could possibly live. God's word is the ultimate handbook for life. But to say that it's just all so fun all the time, I'm saying if you'll walk with God, you can have joy all the time. But to say that your flesh is just like at a carnival, having one thing after another that just makes it leap and enjoy everything, that's false. I mean, just living life. I mean, do you feel like getting up for work every day? Necessarily? Even if you have a great job, you don't necessarily feel like it, but you go. You do it. Well, your flesh isn't going to always feel like doing everything that is in line with love. Your flesh doesn't always want to say the right thing to your spouse. Sometimes your flesh just wants to just give it to them. But if you go down that road and yield to your flesh all the time, it will not go well with you. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ in how we're growing together. If you just do what you want to do, what your flesh wants to do all the time, you're not going to get to where you need to be. No, God, it's all about, God, what did you tell me to do? Not what I want to do. What do you want me to do? On your scripture sheet, we read it last week. Verse 22, or Luke 22, verse 41. Just look on your sheet for sake of time. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. If you've walked with God, you may have prayed something similar to that when God told you what to do. And you said, really? That's what you want me to do. But if you sit on it, and it's still God, and it's still God, and it's not going away, the best thing to do is do just what Jesus said. If this thing isn't going anywhere, not my will, but yours be done. God is very patient, and he'll wait your whole life to do what he told you to do. Did you hear me? Some people have lived out their life and they will not take the step that God told them to take. And they'll stay right where they are. You say, no, God will make them do it. God won't make them do it. Any more than you getting saved or somebody getting saved, he won't make you get saved. He'll give you opportunities. He'll put it in front of you saying, this is what I want you to do. But you're going to have to step out and do it. You can wait. You can say, maybe God will change his mind. Impossible. Because he's perfect. His first judgment was right. If he told you to do it, it's right. He's not going to get a different plan. He'll stay right there. Some people wait their whole life and they won't take a step because they refuse and they're stubborn, and we're not that way. We are going to follow the word. But he said, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's the head of the church. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. I know this is a little bit heavier today, but this is where we're going. Verse 43, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. God strengthened him for what he needed to do. And he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen me. We just need to believe him and trust in his ability and his strength. He said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus' flesh did not want to do what God was telling him to do. He did not want to do it. His flesh didn't, but he put his flesh under. He subjected his flesh and said, not my will, but yours be done. I'll do what you're telling me to do. I'll do it because that's the best way. If God is asking you to do something, asking you to step into something, just do it. Step into it, and that is the best way you can walk this life out, is to do what God has called you to do. If everybody is doing this in the local body, and of course in the body worldwide, but if everybody is just taking the step that they need to take, stepping into what God has called them to do, and doing it out of love, doing it because it's not what I want to do, but because this is what God has for me now. And don't, it doesn't mean because you say yes to God now in something, some people that get the idea, well, if I did that, I don't want to do that my whole life. He's not asking you to do it your whole life, maybe. He's asking you to take a step and say, do this now. If you do what he tells you to do now, you don't know what's coming over the hill. But if you say, I don't see what's past that, I'm not going to do that, you'll never know what's past it until you take the step. Then you take the step, he tells you what the next thing. See, sometimes we want a floodlight when he just gives us a flashlight. We can see the next step to take. And we're looking at it, and we'll look at it from every direction. But we can't, we're trying to see, well, what's over there? And we just can't see it. We're like, I can see this. And you can spend years trying to look around and go ask somebody else, what do you think about this? Should I do that? What do you think about that? You're looking for something else. You're looking for another way. You're looking for them to tell you that's not God. You're looking for them to tell you there's something else about it, and you won't find it. God's going to tell you what to do and say, do that. You know what? Then you take that step. You walk for a little while. Then God shows you the next thing. But if you hadn't got here, he's not going to show you the next thing. It's just, you can, I could go through the Bible and show you so many examples of that. But God wants your heart. He wants you to walk with him and do what he says, and his plan is the best, and you will be the most fulfilled in that plan. But nobody said your flesh is going to jump up and down, and this is why we have so many whiny babies in the world, but in the church, is because they're looking about it being all about them. And so people, oh, I want to do this. Honey, if you don't do what God tells you to do, you're never going to do what you think you want to do, and it may not be his will anyway. Well, I want to be up there singing with those people, you know, they'll go to some, you know, church on the stage. But I won't take one step to do anything against what I think I want to do. No, I'm called to be up there on the stage. But I won't lift my hand to do anything else. Well, no, I'm called to be up there. How do you think those people got up there? You think they all just jumped up there? You know anything about Hillsong? Darlene Check? Do you realize how long that woman has been there, and when she was there, when it wasn't what it is today, and she was there faithful? People wonder, why are they still using that guy? Because they know he can trust him. He's been there for 15 years. We'll move on, get somebody else. No, it doesn't work that way. You are faithful where God put you now, and let him promote you. And you know, you see it over and over. People will be used gradually and over time, and then there's longevity there. People want to just jump up and just say, well, I'm the next one. Look at me. I'm the superstar. Don't you want to use me? You're just another person that's walking on this earth. It is not about us. It's about him. It is not. You're going to die. I'm going to die. But the church will keep going on if Jesus doesn't come back. I don't care how good a voice you have, how much you think you can preach, how good a business skills you have, how much you think, you know, your engineering skills. The world has seen it before, and it will see it again. All we need to do is say, God, what do you want me to do in this short time I'm here? What's your will for me? Okay, that's it. I don't really think that's great in my flesh, but not my will, but your will be done. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. You will be blessed because God is asking you to do something. You've said, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. It's not about us, folks. It's about him. It's about him. Look on your sheet there. Jesus said, or they said about Jesus, 1 John 4:7 said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You and me, loving one another, saying, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for the body? What can I do to help? What can I do to help you out, forward you? God, what do you want me to do? Selfless. This is the mark of spirituality, is walking in love. Not, and getting ahead of myself again, but it's not gifts of the Spirit. It's not how much money you have. Some people think, well, that's a mark of how spiritual you are, how well you can share the gospel with other people, how many people you lead to the Lord. It's not how well you could preach or how well you could sing or how well you can run a business. It is walking in love. Why? Because God's love. That's how godly you are. That's how you are in tune with Him. And His way is the best way. His way is the right way, and His way will always bring us to where we need to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, let's go here. 1 Timothy 3:8. Let's look that on your sheet for that. 1 Timothy 3:8. Says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience, but let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. What? Let them first be tested before they serve. Why? To see if they're up to the task. To see if they're walking the right way. Let them be tested. So many people say, well, I want that. I want to do this. I want to own my own business. I want to run the school. You know, I want to preach in front of thousands. I want to sing. But they won't take the next step in front of them. No, you'll be tested. You'll be tested in any, whatever it is. It's so easy to look down and say, well, I could do that. I could handle it. What can there be to it? But I can't, but I won't take the steps that are right before me and walk through that. If you can't handle that, you're not going to be able to handle the thing down the road. God's merciful. He will test you before you get yourself in too much trouble. He'll show you, you can't handle this. Shore this up first. Shore this part up. Before you think you're going on to other things. No, God brings people along gradually. And somebody said it this way, a minister that I spoke with once. He said, he was talking about something in his own life, but he said, the day of small beginnings tests motives. The day of small beginnings tests motives. When it doesn't look flashy and it doesn't look like there's certain things, you find out where your motive is. Is it love? Is it because Jesus told you to do something? Or is it because you have an ambition to do something? I really want to do this, so I'm going to do that. Well, that'll fade over time. And over time, when you think there's nothing happening or I not what I wanted to, your motives will be tested and purified. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn over to Matthew 25. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is so good. He is so good, so merciful and gracious and wise and long-suffering. He is an awesome, awesome God. It is such a privilege just to walk with Him. Amen? It is such a privilege to walk with the Almighty. This is what it's all about, is just walking with Him. Such a privilege just to know Him and anything He wants us to do. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Some people think, I know I've said things like this before, but people, they think if they were in a situation, well, you know, if the president asked me to do something, or boy, if I could just be the water boy on that team, I would do it, I would do it. But the head of the church, Almighty God, is asking them to do one little thing. I said, I don't want to do that. That's beneath me. What? The head of the church, the highest name in the universe, is saying, can you do this for me? And we look at men and say, well, if he asked me, I would do it. Nope. Glory to God. We're talking about building the church. We're talking about our lives, what you're doing. We're all part of the body of Christ. What is it He wants each of us to do? He wants us to do. If He wants you to run a business, then run a business. Do that. You won't be happy anywhere else. But what does is He asking you to open the doors tomorrow? Or does He have some steps to get you ready to do that? No matter what He asks you to do, it probably will take some steps. Matthew 25:14 says, for the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. Notice that. He gave these talents to people according to their ability. So he gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, he gave 1 1. And the one with 5 used what he had, gained 5 more, and came to the ruler, and he said, well done. But notice what he said before that. He says the same thing in verse 21 and 23. Let's look at 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Notice that. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Over a few. He gave him something to do according to his ability. And he said, are you going to do that? And they did what was set before them. And then he said, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful to do what I told you to do. Now enter into more. Now you're ready to enter into more. He didn't say, here, enter into more. No, he gave them something to do, to test them, to prove their ability. Notice, we won't go into it, but we've read it before. The guy that just took the talent and didn't do anything with it, the ruler was not happy with him. I can't do that. I don't know how to do it. I don't see how. And he sat on it. But no, my real point here is that God will promote us in steps, and as you just do what he's called you to do, and motivated by love, motivated by helping others, motivated by forwarding the kingdom of God, you will get to where you need to get. And you will be promoted. Your skills will increase. Your ability will increase. God will promote you. I said God will promote you, not men. God will promote you. And as we just walk along with him, walk along that pathway and do what he has told us to do, he'll multiply it. He'll bring you up. And you'll say, I don't know I could do that. Now look what I can do. Look what I have before me to do now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll go step by step. And as we just take those steps, I mean, your flesh is going to want to run at times. But if it's the plan of God, then what we need to do is just stay there. Just stay. Just keep being faithful. Just keep being faithful. Just keep being faithful. Be where he told you to be. And let him add to you. Let him grow you. And if we all just come together like this and have this attitude, I'm trying to help you. I'm putting you first. And we're all saying, I want to put you first to the people around us. Then we're all just like this net that's just woven together, strong. Every way is just strong. There aren't any weak links. We just grow and we can handle more. And we just get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's God's will for us. That's God's will for his body worldwide. That's God's will for us here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is, as we're all involved in something here. You and I. This is where God has planted us. And if we're part of this local body, then God has plans for us to keep expanding our influence, to keep expanding what he's doing here. And we all have a part. We all have an area to play. And he's moving people into positions right now. He's moving people into places. We're all being grown. All being put where he would have us to be, if we're willing, if we'll submit, if we'll say, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I want to see your kingdom forward. Thank you, Lord.